Welcome everyone to another episode of Two Shades of Gray, brought to you by our good friends at AgriGold. They know corn, and they also know how to put together a heck of a live streaming video here on CFTV Live. Hold that up there, Rob. Yeah, take a look at that. We got the AgriGold Yeti. You seem to love that. People can hear you now drinking that.
Absolutely love
what
it,
you,
yeah.
What do you got in there? A little scotch?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's going to be a fun podcast.
It's
then.
Just water, my friend. Although it might be useful for this podcast. Add a little scotch.
I think scotch is useful for pretty much everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But no, thank you again to everyone out there listening to Two Shades of Gray. Should actually be a fun one today. I'm looking forward to it. You know, this time of year, you always are fighting to try to find something to talk about. And that's not an issue right now because both what's going on with basketball recruiting and then obviously what was in the news yesterday, Brian Ferentz's comments on recruiting, specifically about Iowa State, also threw Minnesota and Nebraska under the bus a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
But first, before we even get into that, we'll save that for later. I want to hit on basketball recruiting, and that's something we typically, you know, Chris has talked about it, and Jared and I hit on it a little bit earlier in the week on a podcast. But recent news that Morrow, who transferred from Nebraska, is committed to Marquette.
Hmm. Which there was, you know, talk of them being a very strong contender for his services.
Correct. And, you know, I guess the first thing, and we'll cut right to the chase, Rob, is it cause for concern?
Well, I guess any time you quote-unquote miss, it's cause for concern. And then you had Justin before, you had some other guys. Yeah, I mean, it's cause for concern, but is it cause for panic or is it cause for any – I think there are – you know, think of all the times that Iowa State has landed grad transfers in recent years, and I guess that's cause for concern, or any of them that really panned out for any other schools that were in the mix for those guys. And a lot of times those are some pretty solid programs. So I think it's a cause for concern because it's sort of ongoing and there's still those open scholarships that need to be filled. Obviously, Jeff Beverly – is sounding very, very good.
I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Jeff Beverly is going to commit to Iowa State. And it probably, by the time people listen to this podcast, he might have already committed to Iowa State from the sounds of it. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's coming up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of a funny deal. Chris has hit on this quite a bit, that one of the reasons that it's harder for Iowa State to get transfers now than it was in the Fred Hoiberg era is more teams are doing it. And I think that's valid. I don't think that's necessarily only it. I think it's a different style of recruiting. And from what we've seen in Prohm's short time at Iowa State, he seems to be a guy that he's as genuine as it gets. And mm-hmm. I think that is kind of his recruiting as well, is where he really gets to know people. I think he's more of a recruiter that's going to have a lot of success and guys that he, you know, maybe picks out as when they're sophomores in high school. And he develops that relationship for 1 to 2 years before they get a commitment. I think that's where you're going to see Steve Prohm shine truly as a recruiter. And so far, I mean, let's call it what it is. He's struggled to do these quick deals where these guys are – decommitting from their school or with, you know, getting out, looking to transfer, and they're looking to make a decision in the next month or two. He's really struggled. Him and his staff have really struggled at that. And, you know, normally that wouldn't be an issue, Rob. Most years, hopefully Iowa State gets to a point where that's not an issue and he can just keep rebuilding in the high school mm-hmm. ranks and even the JUCO ranks. But right now, just because of the way the scholarships fell and with the way Fred left and Monte and Naz coming back, there's a ton of open scholarships for next year. And it is concerning this year. I don't think it's concerning long term because of all the reasons said with Steve, but I think it's concerning this year and for what the team we're going to have for the next 2 years. I think I don't really know if there's any way to sugarcoat it, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, well, I think the concern is that much more magnified because no fan wants to drop off, you know, to go from six straight NCAA tournaments to rebuild, even for one season. You know, mm-hmm. it's been such a fun ride for fans. And, you know, those around Iowa State University in general, you know, since Fred got the team back and Prohm kept them on track to be relevant nationally, to take a step. I mean, but at the same time, every program does it. Look at the step back Oklahoma took last year.
Yeah.
And part of that was the Big 12 had so many dang close games. And they were in a lot of those games. You look at the teams that fell off, like when TCU fell off to 6-12, that was a good basketball team. Went on and won the NIT. Which isn't that's an accomplishment when you go on a run and win that tournament. Now, if you go down to CBI or whatever, you're really an also-ran team. But
it's an accomplishment that nobody cares about.
Well, except those who are fans of teams in the NIT.
Partially.
You're going to beat some teams that are somewhat named programs that are maybe having that down year.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is it's going to happen sometime. And I think that's what you just hope it's not now. You hope the momentum. I mean, you've got a Wiginton coming in. How much better can Donovan Jackson get? How much growth can Solomon Young make in the post? Can Nick Weiler-Babb become a more consistent contributor? A lot of guys that you need more from. And and it's, and you need a lot more from if you can't add the quality of transfers and quantity that you want.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You're 100% right. You see every program take drops off. Really, the only ones typically that don't are the Dukes of the world in Kansas. I mean, heck, even
Kentucky fell back to the NIT and lost at Robert Morris.
The first game. Yeah, the very first game of the NIT. So, I mean, it happens. The thing that I think is frustrating for Iowa State fans is, you know, we've seen this growth up, six straight NCAA tournament appearances. You look around college basketball when all these arenas are struggling to get fans in there. That's not the case at Hilton Coliseum. That place is packed. The fans are great. It's an easy sell. Hey, come play for us, play in the Big 12, play in front of fans that love you. You'll be idolized. You're playing in the Big 12. There's so much to sell. And then for Iowa State to lose recruits to UNLV.
Yeah.
And Marquette's a good program. Marquette's had a lot of success. I mean, you look at UNLV and Marquette for the history of basketball, their program has had more success at Iowa State in the history. But most of these kids are 18, 19 years old. And a lot what they've known recently, Iowa State's been a better program than both of those with better fan bases recently than those schools have. So I think it's very difficult for Iowa State fans to take a look at and say, how the heck are we losing out to these programs when we have so much to sell right now? And not only top of that, we have spots that are available for these guys to come in and fit immediate roles, immediate needs, and keep this train rolling forward. And now there's no question there's going to be a step back. But with the same time, there is a tremendous opportunity for the guys like you mentioned, the Wigingtons, the Jacksons, the Weiler-Babb. And I've said this many times. I think Weiler-Babb's ceiling is about as high as anybody's on the team.
Yeah.
But right now his floor is about as low as anyone on the team as well. So he's got to find a way to get more consistent. I think it all starts with confidence with him. He does that, the team can still have some success, and we saw it last year in the Big 12 too. There's so many close games. You sneak up and win one or two of those games, you don't know, right? You could put yourself in a position in March to maybe be on that bubble.
Yep.
And that's fun, right? That's what Iowa State fans, you want to be relevant.
Yep.
I mean, what else you got to add to that, Rob?
Nothing other than, I mean, Beverly is a nice pickup. I mean, he averaged roughly 16 a game, and I think he led UTSA in scoring and about six boards. I think he can up that number, and he's going to have to at Iowa State on the rebounding front if he can stay on the floor consistently. But, you know, 6'6", about 250, you know, really, really nice player. And a guy who, yes, he played at a mid-major or low major, whatever you want to call UTSA. They played Division I basketball. You know, as good as, say, a highly touted JUCO recruit is, there's always that JUCO transition. And it's not always just on the floor. It's in the classroom. It's getting used to that bigger university atmosphere. And
the travel that comes along with different places.
I'd rather have a guy that prove that he can play at the Division I level and play well than a guy that looks like he's an athletic phenom but has not yet played at that level.
Yeah, I think this kid's going to be, when he comes in, he'll come in with a lot of confidence, which is key. The thing that scares me about him is his efficiency numbers aren't very good. He took a lot of shots to score those points. Now he's going to come to a team that's going to have two quality point guards and hopefully a system better suited for him. That's the hope, right? That's the homer in me and the homer and all the fans saying, okay, well, he scored 17 or 16 points, but they weren't very efficient because he didn't have the players around him. He'll have players around him now. But realistically, he's going to go against better players on the same sense, longer length. I think this would be an okay pickup. I mean, it is what it is in the sense that who else is out there at this point? They've missed on Justin, Morrow, Brown.
You got the Princeton guy.
The Princeton guy, once again, this is a guy coming off two ACL injuries in the last 2 years.
Kind of a Brian Bobeck for basketball.
Yeah, you know, he could be good. And honestly, Iowa State doesn't need someone to come in. I mean, they do need someone. But if they could get someone to come in and average 6-4 for him, that'd be nice. You know, Young's going to take a step up. Hopefully, Lard can fill in a little bit. We don't know. I'm telling you guys, if Ray Kazanga does anything, I'll be shocked. I think the writing's on the wall there when they're going after these big guys here too. If they felt good with Young, Lard, and Kazanga, they're probably not going after Hans from Princeton.
Yeah,
but my guess.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, you know, it's one of those things too. We're sitting here. What's the date today? Today is May 4th.
Fourth. Yeah.
May 4th. Really worried about that. Really worried about this. there still could be somebody that could pop up. There could still be somebody that leaves their school, and all of a sudden all these other schools have been picking up guys left and right here, and Iowa State could be sitting back here saying, hey, we got 2-3 scholarships open, and we have immediate need for you. Come here. And sometimes these things have a way of working themselves out.
Yeah, and you touched on what Iowa State has to offer, which is a lot. When you think about the adulation you get from fans at Hilton Coliseum, I mean, it's something that everyone, as I do these Where Are They Nows, people are sometimes moved when I kind of ask them about reminiscing about that level of support.
And you can't put – that's – how do you sell that to a kid?
Exactly.
You have to experience that, right?
Yeah, you have to. And also – different things matter to different people. And some people might be looking at it. Hey, look, some people might be attracted to the bigger city just because it's a bigger city. Ames is decidedly not that.
And I will say, I love Milwaukee. I don't blame any kid for going to Milwaukee.
You do?
I love Milwaukee. I'm serious.
Yeah?
You been there?
I've been there.
You drank some beer there? I got a lot.
I haven't been there since I was slightly too young, even though I got a decent start. Not at a very, very young age, but I went to a baseball game there.
Okay. Watch the Cubbies?
I don't think the Cubbies were playing. I was there a long time ago because I've got family in Madison, so I don't go to Milwaukee that much.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, and Vegas. And Vegas is a
– Vegas is Vegas, right?
I mean, that's a draw for some people. And who knows what's going through someone's mind? Who knows who's in somebody's ear? Who knows how much influence – a brother might have or a sibling of some sort to steer somebody a certain place.
And there's no question, I'm a homer. I don't know if you're a homer or not, but I'm definitely a homer for Iowa State, right? I probably think Iowa State is better than it really is. But I still don't know how you can look at a lot of these different schools and just say, hey, the last decade. Let's just go decade. Iowa State's name is almost a top 15 program, you know? So I don't know. To me, this is right. This is where Iowa State should be getting. They should be getting a lot of Lindell Wigginton's, right? Not a lot. They should be getting one or so of those a year, getting a JUCO kid to come in here. If it's Iowa State and UNLV, Iowa State should be winning that battle. You don't know what's going on. And that's what's frustrating about the whole thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still think Iowa State's going to be fine long-term because I think Steve Prohm is very good at what he does as far as building those relationships, especially with in the high school ranks.
I love your point about the high schools, probably because I was going to bring it up. I mean, as a guy that prides himself so much as a father figure type, and that was played up with how he dealt with Monte. Monte was obviously an upperclassman by then or about to be one. But he genuinely cares about that, and I think that resonates much more with somebody who's making their first choice and looking at their first school than somebody who's been someplace and gone through this. You know, maybe it was a coaching change. Maybe it was they didn't like what their situation. You know, there's been enough drama in their life that type of relationship, oddly enough, maybe doesn't seem to seem as quite as appealing to people and maybe in that situation where they're a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, no. It, you know, these coaches get paid a lot of money. A lot of money.
They
right?
do.
They have a lot of great perks. I think that any of us would love to be in their job, but it's times like this that I don't envy them at all. You're chasing a guy, you're building a relationship just for him to tell you no somewhere else. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's a kick to the stones. You know, you think that, hey, why would this person choose this school and this coach over me? But it is part of the game, and it's one thing they have to deal with. And, you know, hopefully they can close out with a couple good guys here, bring him in, and then, you know, like I said, who knows, roll the ball out and just go from there. They you know, and maybe this Hans kid from Princeton, too, commits to Iowa State, and he comes back and his knees are actually perfectly fine, and he's a guy that can put up 8-5 for Iowa State. And
sure.
I mean, and make a couple threes, right?
And you got a chance at a nice season there. I think that the uncertainty is the really, really, really hard part. And then
we haven't had it forever.
Exactly. And when you add names, then you can pour yourself into that name, right? Knowing everything about that person. How can they help in this situation? How can they help in this situation? How can they help against Team X, Team Y? When you don't have those names to add, then you're just like, well, how much scoring did we lose? How much rebound? How much 3-point shooting?
Well, we didn't lose much in the rebounding front, I can promise you that. But, yeah, scoring assists. I mean, you're not going to replace Amonte Morris. You're just not. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Lindell Wigginton can come in next year. He can be a stud. I think he is going to be a stud.
Yep.
And he might – I think he'll probably do some things overall better than Monte, but he's not replacing Monte next year. He's just not going to. So you can't expect him to. The hope is that Donovan takes a little bit of a step up. Nick Wiley Babb takes a little bit of a step up. Young does, and all of them just, and they're going to have to.
And Lard is you know, based on what we've heard, he's capable of. He lives up. He's at least in the range, yeah, the high range of what he's capable of.
And at this point, the kid's going to have to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to have to play. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Now we can talk about some fun stuff here. Yesterday was big news. So I went out to dinner with my wife and a friend and his wife. It was his birthday. And I left. We went and picked up the kids, dropped them off at my sister's. And all of a sudden, I get there and I realize I forgot my phone. And I don't know about you, Rob. If I don't have my phone, I feel naked.
It's gotten, and it's kind of a sad state of affairs, but it has gotten that way. Like, let's say I'm going to the grocery store, and I usually stream a lot of stuff, through my car, and I left my phone. I'm like, oh, I guess I'll listen to the radio. I can't pull it out when I'm going to get the organic free range eggs. I can't pull it out and look at something. You know, it's sad, really.
It is sad.
But it's true.
But it's the world we live in. I mean, it was to the point where I looked at my wife and said, do you think we have time for me to drive back to Grime, get my phone, and meet them for dinner? Ended up leaving it. So I did have my phone from essentially 5 o'clock on until we got home. It was like 11 o'clock by the time we got back home. So I didn't see anything until this morning that this was big news yesterday. And I think most people listening to this podcast right now already know what we're talking about. But I'm going to read this quick to people that did it.
Gonna read the quote. I think it was on the Des Moines Register's Hawk Central podcast, correct?
Yes, on KXNO. Yeah, Chris, I'll call him back. Okay, so this is what Brian Ferentz, offensive coordinator for the Iowa Hawkeyes, said. What has sped up things in recruiting in our state, especially, is the guys in Ames and then the new guys in Minneapolis seem to have no problem really throwing early things out. And what I've learned, certainly, about the guys in Ames, and I think we'll find out about the guys in Minneapolis. What does an offer really mean? I could tell you this much. If the University of Iowa offers you a scholarship and you commit to us, we intend to sign you. I think you have to look no further than in-state to see there were a lot of offers in the 2018 class that went out very early out of Ames. And I'm not sure all those guys were able to commit to them if they wanted to, because some of those guys have since gone other places. All right, Rob. What's your take on this?
I think it's overblown, frankly.
You think his
no
take
just
is
the,
overblown,
rea- the no reaction. The reaction to it is overblown.
Oh no, it's not.
I think that.
Oh no, it's not.
I think that I get his point that Iowa's very old school and they don't generally offer as many kids. Now that's not the way college football is trending, though, and it'd be a whole other show to debate. You know, whatever you want to call it, the ethic or the about the situation, that schools are offering more people, in part because this is a pitched battle every year, and you've got hundreds of offers going out by most schools. I think it's at least tacitly understood by the kids on the recruiting end that yes, I've been offered. But I also know that if I can't make a decision quickly, that offer might not be there for me in the long run. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's
why the offers are going out so fast and furious and early, because you want to get certain people committed. And sometimes those offers are going out to the people that you're shooting for the stars with. And it works on the other side, too. You might say, I've got very little chance at this kid if I look at it objectively, but I'm going to throw that offer out there anyway. And then if I land, we adjust. I mean, every school offers more, you know, puts out more offers than they have available scholarships for.
Yeah.
So, you can say, I guess, some do it way more and some do it only like double or triple or, quadruple or fivefold or whatever. But the fact that he decided to say it in that aspect, I think that the reaction is apt. I mean, so you get what I'm saying? In one way, I think it's overblown because he's kind of stating, you know, facts that are out there. But he's also taking shots at certain schools. And, of course, a reaction, therefore, is justified, because I don't think there's anything inherently wrong in putting out a lot of offers and putting out early offers. It's the current landscape of college football. Many, many, many teams do it, not just Iowa State, Minnesota, and Nebraska.
So this is kind of a loaded conversation here. I mean, I could go so many different ways, but first and foremost, I love this, right? Like, I absolutely love it. It's a rivalry.
Yeah.
Hate each other, man.
Yeah.
Just hate each other. Absolutely. Hey, Ference, you don't like Iowa State? Great. And here's the deal, 100% truth. Paul Rhodes was a coach for 7 years. Did you ever hear Kirk or anyone in the staff ever say anything about Paul Rhodes and the way he was recruiting?
No.
Ever?
No.
Okay.
No.
Paul Rhodes was a terrible recruiter. I love Paul Rhodes to death. I actually think he's a pretty good football coach, but he was a pretty good football coach who had not very good players because he was not a very good recruiter. I mean, you can go back. And
look, I can't disagree with
you
that.
You can go back and look at his classes if you want to argue with me, but the proof is right there on paper as far as who he brought in, who he kept, and how successful they were. I don't think Brian Ferentz is making these comments unless up there PJ Fleck's kicking ass in recruiting.
Yep.
And Matt Campbell's not kicking. He's not dominating recruiting, but I think he's starting to see, hey, these kids at Iowa.
He's erased the profile at Iowa State for sure.
Trevor Downing is going to Iowa 10 times out of 10. Until all of a sudden now, Trevor Downing looks like he might be going to Iowa. We don't know.
Yep.
He could commit somewhere else. We don't know. I think Iowa State's going to get this kid now, and I think Brian probably knows that, and they probably are starting to see this. The kid down in Norwalk, all of a sudden, man, Iowa State might actually beat us out for this stud offensive lineman down in Norwalk. What the heck? I think now you start ruffling some feathers of, hey, we get whoever we want in the state of Iowa unless it's a legacy recruit like Austin Arnott or Alan Lazard.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are probably irritating them to the point where he's going to make this comment.
Yep.
And I have no problem with him making the comment, man. Like I said, this is, you know, if you want to – do you want to take a couple cheap shots? They're in a good spot to take cheap shots right now, right?
Sure.
They just had how many guys drafted? Iowa State had zero.
Mm-hmm.
They just have won how many games the last couple years? Iowa State's won six. If you're going to take the cheap shots, you take them now. You don't wait until all of a sudden Iowa State's built up your profile. Iowa State's won six, seven games. They just beat you.
Yeah.
You do it right now.
And 42-3 last year, too. On the field was rough.
Yeah, it was a butt
rough.
Yeah. So I get it. Like, hey, and if you're an Iowa fan, you clap your hands and you say, yeah, coach.
Yep.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna come as an Iowa State fan here. I love this last sentence he said. I think you have to look no further than in-state to see where a lot of the offers in the 2018 class that went out very early out of Ames. And I'm not sure all those guys were able to commit to him if they wanted. Hey, I'm not sure, but I'm going to comment on it anyway. I love that, right? I don't really know what the hell I'm talking about, but I'm going to say something anyway.
Yeah.
Because some of those guys have since gone to other places. So some of the guys that Iowa State offered have committed to other places, and that means that Iowa State wasn't willing to accept their commitment?
Yeah.
I don't really understand
that. Yeah, I don't understand that either.
There's no question Iowa State is offering an absurd amount of kids. That mean, you can look at the offer sheet.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the top three to five, I think, in the country as far as how many offers they're throwing out there. But you're Iowa State. You got to be different. You can't be the same. Throw stuff out there. Worst case scenario, they said no. They're going to say no to you before they said no to you in years past. But you know what? You might get a DeShonte Jones. You might get a guy like Cam White last year who ended up decommitting, but you had him for a little bit. And you've got to try to get yourself in those conversations as much as possible.
It matters if you make a final. We've seen a couple guys that Iowa State's a finalist for that in the past, you don't know whether they offer him or not. You know, really, really high profile guys where you look at their offer sheet, and no, there's Iowa State in their top seven or top five or whatever. That matters. These guys understand the perception matters, and I don't.
It matters for the first couple honeymoon years.
Well, yeah.
And then after that, you got to land the players.
And you got to win some football. Yeah, exactly. You got to win football games.
Yep.
But no, I do like that he said it too, and I have the same question. It's kind of head scratching. I mean, it's a kind of a roundabout way to say that. I mean, everybody puts out. I have to come back to this. Everybody puts out more offers than they have scholarships available.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to call it seedy that it's twice as many as you do, I don't see what the difference is. You're still putting out way more than you can fill. So are you saying, well, we're slightly less? I don't understand because
the offer thing to me is silly. The real question is Iowa State offering kids? Are the kids committing? And then is Iowa State later after they commit pulling the offer? Let's be fair. It happened twice last year. It did. And,
happens everywhere.
It happens everywhere, though. And once again, it happened before. Not Rhodes didn't do it as much as he probably should have, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be completely honest.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably should have done it more. But once it doesn't, he wouldn't even make a contact. He wouldn't even have said a word about it unless Iowa State has somehow gotten under his skin on the recruiting trail, because they're probably going to pick up a kid that Iowa thought, well, we're going to get this kid because we're Iowa.
Yep.
We're going to get him. And so good. I mean, it ruffles some feathers. You don't need to be friends with each other. I mean, I don't like fake drama, just to have fake drama, but every now and then you go on a radio and you have a little conversation like this, especially in a dead time when there's nothing else going on in the state. I love it, man. I think it's great.
And it's all about how you handle it too. I mean, it is possible fairly early on to kind of look at where everything's going. And if you had somebody who did commit and you'd start to reassess and say, I'm not sure this person's going to fit the picture, you can communicate with them. It doesn't have to be at the very end, you know, like leaving kids high and dry because there are ethics within this situation that, again, can be argued as being.
In Iowa State, when they never blindsided kids on this. I mean, so you're not going to commit to Iowa State, but you're still going to go play Division I football somewhere, and you're going to get your tuition paid for. But Iowa State, I mean, Iowa State's got to raise the talent level.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to do things a little bit differently than Iowa, who's been established with the coaching staff there since 1999. They got to do things a little different. So they're going to have fun. They're going to think that one side's weird, and they're going to think the other side's weird. And I don't think there's any problem with it. But I don't think it's any coincidence that he mentions Minneapolis, where PJ Fleck got like a top 10, 11 class right now in the country. And he mentioned at some point Nebraska. And Nebraska got, I think, the 10th or 11th recruiting class in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
And Minnesota, it's right there.
So he's mentioning both of those because they are doing a good job right now recruiting. And you are trying to maybe, like you said, create that wedge in that program. I find it funny, too. I think one of his comments was, hey, Nebraska's talking about the fact that they, you know, have this pipeline to the NFL. Well, the last couple of years, they've only had two kids. But if the shoe was on the other foot and Iowa had as many players go, and they do, Iowa's in the NFL is as good as anybody, right? Not named Alabama.
Yeah.
But you sell what you have to sell. And if Nebraska, over 30 years, has sent 200 people to the NFL, you sell that, even if it's only been two the last 2 years.
Yep.
I don't know. I think he kind of comes off a little bit whiny and a little bit of a baby, but at the same time, I like it.
Sure. I mean, I like the candor.
Yeah.
And I think Chris had a really nice, well done piece kind of digesting that and mentioned how Iowa State fans love it when Jamie Pollard is very straightforward, impassioned in how he speaks. You want that. You'd rather have somebody throwing stuff out there, sometimes maybe with emotion weighing a little bit more than the rationality part of it. But you prefer that to the always subdued, the always close to the vest kind of thing where you don't really know what people are thinking.
I wonder, here's the question. What's the response going to be from Campbell? Is there going to be a response? If he does, is he going to wait until he's actually interviewed on the radio? Because next time he's interviewed, it's going to be brought up.
Yep.
I mean, if you're there and you have a microphone and you don't ask him a question, Rob, you're probably not doing your job. Am I right?
Yeah, has to get asked.
Got to ask him a question. How does Coach respond? Does he say something before he's asked?
That's a good point. A good question. I think some coaches would definitely wait to be asked. I think there's a real possibility that Campbell may kind of get the ball rolling a little bit. Not like a long, and I think he'd be very measured in what he'd say, in response to that. But, I guess we'll find out,
knowing this staff
before too long,
they'll probably start trolling the Iowa coaches on Twitter with some sort of gifts would be my guess
for sure. But I mean, what's interesting too, is that he brings up those schools and Alex Halstead put out on Twitter yesterday, of 247, Big Ten offers. Well, Nebraska put out the third most. I mean, Minnesota, of course, it Fleck's come in, and now it's a different thing. But Illinois was head and shoulders more than anybody else.
Yeah.
There's no mention of Illinois. And that's a neighbor. That's somebody, you know, they've in the past gotten so many good players out of the Chicago area. And I think that ties into what you talked about, that if you're not at least, I don't know if threatens the word, or, you know, if you're not feeling that the turf that you've counted on being 100% fertile for you is now maybe dropping back to 88% and others are finding a way in, you don't put those names out there, and made a special point to put Iowa State out there twice. So,
yeah.
I think, and again, I don't know if threatens the right word. I mean,
I don't either, but I think threat might
concerned. This podcast has been about concern, so maybe there's a little bit of concern there. So there's something you gotta.
And like I said, now is the time to do it, right?
Yep.
Because people can say, "Well, they're not concerned. They just kicked the crap out of Iowa State last year. They've won. Iowa's won 20 games last 2 years. Iowa State's won 6.
Yep.
Iowa's had 7 guys go to the NFL. I don't even know how many guys. Four?
Quite a few.
Four.
I think about 4.
So, I mean,
5 maybe.
Yeah. To me, you do it now, because if you do it once Iowa State beats you and Iowa State wins 6-7 games, then you come off looking like you're throwing a little bit of a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
You're throwing a fit. Right now, he just looks right. To Iowa fans and a lot of media members, he just looks right.
Yep.
Iowa State does offer a lot of kids. They have. Iowa offers 123 last year. Iowa State was at 300. So,
yep.
I don't know. It's fun, though. I have no problem with it. It's fun. We had a conversation last week. Or a couple weeks ago, about how I thought Iowa State should get out of the Iowa State game for scheduling purposes, for wins and losses. And I also said, I love the game.
Yeah.
I love the game for this. You're not supposed to like each other. You're rivals, right? I'm not saying I'm cordial Iowa fans. I don't need to get into it. But I have no problem with the players and coaches hating each other. In fact, I like it. It makes it more enjoyable. You turn on TV and you see two basketball teams in the NBA playing that you know they absolutely hate each other. Isn't it more fun to watch?
Now, that used to happen a lot more, like when I was coming up. Oh, man, the Celtics Pistons.
How great was
the fight with Lambeer and Bird getting pummeled, and then the Chief just cold cocking Lambeer like that.
You enjoy it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
They had the little things. If you're ever bored, go on YouTube and they'll do the little intros for the CBS Sports ones where they got da 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 da. The lamest music, but it was like cool then. And then they show it. Isaiah Thomas was and Larry Bird frustrated by the Pistons and Lambeer's elbowing him. And then this Donnybrook where the Chief Robert Parrish takes out Lambeer and he's laying on the ground. You know, it's just like this is real. Gladiator type stuff. I mean, that's fun.
Yeah. Remember when was it Chaney went after Rick Pitino after in the press conference?
Ooh,
after the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need.
He
more.
Went a little bit over the top. Didn't he say I'm going to kill you?
I think he said I'm going to effing kill you.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't forget to effing. We need more of that, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet Prom will do it this year to Bill Self.
Probably.
Maybe.
Maybe Weber will do it to Bill Self.
I'm gonna effing kill you. I can't even do his voice right.
I'm gonna effing kill you, Self.
Oh man, you know what?
Maybe Bill Self will do it to somebody. That'd be even better. Maybe like the first game of the year, he's facing. I don't know. They probably got an Izzo type or Calipari type.
If Huggins could show that much energy and effort anymore, he'd probably be the one to do it. But he'd have to get his, you know what, off that stool.
He'd have to bring some goons in behind him.
Yeah.
To take care of people.
All right, Rob. Anything else we need to hit on here? I mean, I I'm sure that the local media is going to have a fun time with this over the next week, and it's really going to rile up the both fan bases. The phones are going to be lit up.
Yep. It's fun. No, I'll have a Where Are They Now coming out. I think probably early next week. Reggie Hayward, who was back for the spring game, is one of the honorary captains. I talked to him over the phone recently, and just a dynamite guy to talk to. I mean, how good he was. When he left, he was Iowa State's all-time sack leader at 16.5. That since was bested by a couple of guys. I think Kirby's. Yeah, Moorhead's number one. I think Kirby's number two. James Reed was right there with him. Of course, he played with James Reed. Think about those guys playing together.
They had Ryan Harklaw on that line as well, who was in the NFL with the Jaguars.
Yeah.
That was the best defensive line in Iowa State history, without question.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, there's no doubt. No question.
And again, this has been a theme of the Where Are They Now, is, you know, some of the most successful teams. And that 2000 team, of course, is head and shoulders above everyone. Went and beat Pitt in the Insight.com bowl game. And he just had a really, really, really good perspective on everything and really explained the difference between 1999 and 2000 very, very well. Other guys have too. I mean, when they talked to Stevie Johnson as well, but I mean, he was very impassioned in how he felt 1999 shouldn't have been 4-7. I mean, they were as good
then
as they were in 2000. And why it turned out the way it did in 99 and did in 2000. And, you know, he's got an interesting life. You know, he almost quit Iowa State his freshman year. I don't know how well that's known, but they were really struggling. he had never really struggled in his life. He was too big to play for his junior high, so he had to go play for a Catholic league team.
Really?
Yeah, and then he got back to high school. He ended up as a ninth grader playing varsity in the playoffs at the end.
Jeez.
It's a ninth grader.
Save some, so, I mean, save some of the
well,
good stuff.
Well, the detail and his words are just powerful.
Yeah.
That's one of the great joys of doing almost every single person I've interviewed. And it's, whether it's powerful or insightful or just really fun, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there that, you know, to chew on. And I like the fact that it can point people into, what did this person do to make themselves great?
Yeah.
And can I translate that to my life one way or another?
I know his record was broken, but I still look at him as the best defensive end in Iowa State. Well, at least in my lifetime.
I would agree.
I can't speak in the 70s before, but in my lifetime, he's the best defensive end.
Oh, just an absolute beast.
Yeah. Berryman had the potential to be if he could have stayed out of trouble.
Yep.
David Irving had the potential to be if he probably could have redshirted and then stayed out of trouble.
Yep.
Plus, they moved him inside, so he might not have. But those are a couple guys that maybe could have given him a run for his money, but never materialized. But that's part of it, right? That's part of sports in general. There's people that could be all-time greats in the NBA that never got their shot because they got themselves in trouble at some point, right? So that part of the greatness is being a good person.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, but you know what I mean.
You're not perfect.
But it helps when you are doing things the right way, both on and off the field. It helps you to have a better opportunity to maybe go to the NFL.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
To start for Iowa State for 3 years. No, I'm really looking forward to it. You do a fantastic job in those Where Are They Nows.
I appreciate that. It's fun. It's a lot of fun for me. So that
don't tell Chris or Jared, but I read your articles way more than I read theirs.
Because you've got your finger on the pulse of all the news that they're disseminating. Anyway, you're talking to them about
it. Just take the compliment.
I appreciate
it. And accept it and realize that it was both a compliment to you and a slight to them. I was really kind of taking a shot.
I should appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. No, it's good. Everybody looking for that. And I know Chris is going to be doing the Saturday podcast going forward. Now we got a new sponsor for that, so be ready for that because we will not have a podcast. There's no podcast this week. There'll be one next week. Saturday podcast, and then be looking forward to Rob's Where Are They Now with Reggie Hayward.
Absolutely.
So thanks, buddy.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good seeing you too. All right, everyone. Thanks again to AgriWorld Hybrid. They know corn. We'll see everyone next week.